Amen. Today, I want us to consider the topic of Christian service. And to be more exact, I would title my message, The Acts of Christian Service. Now, from the outset, and I tell you that I want to preach on Christian service, maybe you're already thinking to yourself, oh, well, we've heard this all before. We've had preachers time and time again tell us and preach to us about Christian service. And as you hear, this is what I'm going to preach on. Maybe already you're feeling like switching off, and because maybe there's something else. There's some topic that you'd rather hear preached upon this morning. But dear Christian, if a message on Christian service doesn't appeal to you today, I tell you that you're probably the one who needs to hear it the most. If any of us think we don't need to hear about our service of God, we don't need to be challenged on our service of God, and we don't need to examine our service of God, there's something wrong there. If there's a person who's content on where they are in their service of God, there is something seriously wrong. And that's really what I want us to examine today, is our walk and our service of God. I want us all to see that there's something that we should consider. As I say, we live in a day and age when men, I'm not talking about you now because I don't know you, but we live in a day and age when so many professing Christians, they want their ears to be tickled. They want to be preached on things that will make them feel good about themselves and make them go out feeling that they're not so bad. But dear friend, it is my duty to, and every preacher, faithful preacher of the word, to not make people feel good about themselves, but have them examine themselves in the light and in the mirror, which is God's word. As I would look with you today at this topic of Christian service, I certainly have no intention to tickle ears or with platitudes and praise. But at the very same time, I'm not here today to attack you. I'm not here to hammer you on a lack of service that I know nothing of. You see, people can do that, particularly when they go to another church. They can come into a pulpit and they can, as it were, pick out the big stick and just hammer the people that they know nothing about. Now, I tell you, if that is what my message comes across as this morning, that's not my intention. It's not my intention to hammer or to make you feel bad or attack you, because, as I say, I don't know you. I know very little of how active you are all in the service of God. I have no idea in the matter, and therefore it would be wrong and impossible for me to criticize you on that. So it's not my purpose, it's not my plan to attack and criticize you today, but it is my intention to try and show you, and indeed myself, and consider some of the serious and solemn aspects of the danger of backsliding in our Christian service. To not be serving God maybe as we once were. That we would take the time to stop and consider today, how well are we walking with God? How well are we serving God? Have we wandered from God? Have we strayed from Him? And maybe we don't even realize it. Therefore, dear friends, I trust you will see this as a message that we all need to hear. Many Christians in the past 12 to 18 months, we all know what's been going on. You'll be under a rock somewhere if you didn't know. We've been through a very challenging time as individuals, as congregations, as a denomination, as a country, as a world. There has been challenges that have been faced that none of us have had to face before. And I firmly believe there's been many great blessings that has come out of all this. I know of families who with lockdowns and having to worship in their home, the family worship became something which had never been appeared in their homes in the past. And families have came together around God's word like they never had before. I mentioned earlier how those things that we had lost, the singing of hymns and so forth and all these things, how we treasured them once we lost them and we appreciated these things again. We used some when they were maybe had to isolate and were out of work. And many of us, I believe, at this time of pandemic, have surely been still. Have used this time to be still and to know our God. So there has been great blessings. And people have grown in the Lord in these times. And the Lord has spoken and Christians have heard. Yet we must also accept that there's been many other professing Christians. This pandemic and church closures and and everything else, they've wandered and they've strayed from God. To use the words of that hymn that we've just sang, their service for God has become barren and dry. They're not what they once were. Maybe they were once active, and with all that has gone on, with church closures and with all the activities shutting down, that now the things are starting again. That service is not there that once was. And maybe that's a description of you today. I say, I don't know. I know very few of you. I know maybe some of the visitors, but I don't know maybe too many of the regulars here. I don't know, but I ask you, could that be a description of you? Has there been a wandering from God in the last year or year and a half or so? Or maybe such barrenness in your service for God predates the church closures and lockdowns. And maybe even more alarming still is that you have been unaware that there is such barrenness in your life and service of God. That you don't realize that you're not serving God as you once did. That the service of God doesn't appeal to you as it once did. There isn't that love for the Lord that there was once there. There isn't that love to consider Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. There isn't that desire to consider what we have been saved from. This evening I want us to consider hell. And some of the Christians don't consider enough. Consider what God has saved us from. Consider what Christ had to suffer to set us free. These things don't appeal to us as they once did. And maybe you haven't realized it. Now, as we consider such a thought, such a serious and solemn reality, I want us to consider this portion before us in 2 Kings chapter 6. Here we have an account which speaks about a man and his axe. Or I shouldn't say his axe, but a man and an axe, as we will see later on. As we consider this man and this axe, I want us to view it as a picture of our Christian service. You see, as we would look at this axe, particularly the axe in this account, this axe is a picture of faltering Christian, a Christian service who is not what it once was. And I want us to see it with three simple points this morning. The first point, or first consideration of this axe of Christian service, as I want to call it, it is the realization. I really, by introduction, brought you to this. It's about considering the realization of our Christian service. Where is our Christian service at? You see, we find a realization in verse 5. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5, we read this. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Now, I want us to look at this verse in terms of this realization, and I want us to consider two realizations that are here made. The first realization is a simple one. The realization that was clear to make, it was that the axe had lost its cutting edge. The axe had lost its cutting edge. In this verse, we read of a man chopping away at a tree, when all of a sudden the axe head comes flying off and is lost in the water. Now, no doubt the man was not long in realizing what had just happened, be it the awful sound of the axe head hitting the water and the splash that went up, or maybe the immediate lightening of the weight of the axe. Either way, that man quickly realized that the axe had lost its cutting edge. Yet, I believe it is more probable that if that man had been more observant of his axe in the days and in the time up until that point, if he had observed his axe and saw the condition of his axe, there would have been a realization. I believe that could have saved him losing the head of that axe. You see, that axe head didn't just fly off for no reason. That axe head didn't come loose and fly off into the water all at once. But you see, that axe head got looser and looser as time went on. This man was swinging away with his axe with either no realization that the head of it was loose, or else he was simply ignoring the reality. He didn't want to stop maybe to sharpen the axe. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe it wasn't that the axe head was loose in reality, but what was happening is he was working with a blunt axe. And every hit with that blunt axe upon the tree, it made the head looser and looser. Be it loose or be it blunt. There could have been a realization long before the axe head came flying off that that axe was not as effective as it once was. It wasn't cutting the tree as effectively as it could have been. He could have made that realization. Oh yes, the one that was using the axe, he realized it had lost its cutting edge. But it took the axe head falling off into the water for him to realize it. Oh, what a serious and solemn warning that should be for us as Christians today, as we would take this axe as a picture of our Christian service. May we realize today that the axe of our Christian service is not what it once was, that we're not as sharp for the Lord as we once were. We're not as effective for the Lord as we once were. We're not have the same power and might in our service for God. Oh, there was a time when our service was sharp for the Lord, when we were effective and useful in God's service. But I wonder, has that edge since been lost? As we consider the axe head becoming looser and looser over a period of time, is that not a picture, a vivid picture, of the backsliding Christian? You know, it doesn't happen overnight. We don't go from a joy in our hearts, a joy in our salvation, a joy in serving God, to the next day doing nothing for the Lord. And being cold in our walk and being, as to use the word, lazy in our service. That doesn't happen overnight. There's a gradual falling away, a backsliding, a loosening, as it were, of the axe head. I wonder, has there been a gradual loosening of the axe head of your service without you realizing it? As it were, maybe you're swinging away thinking all is well, thinking your service for God is as good as ever, when really all you're doing is hitting with a blunt lump of a stick. If so, what must it take for you to realize there is a deficiency in your service of God? As the axe head at this point came loose, never is it going to take a coming completely clean off and being left with, I'd say, that blunt handle before you realize that your service is barren and dry. Or to use another picture, the picture of a cart. Picture of the cart, and you can picture the cart, and you can see the wobble in the wheel. The wheel is coming loose. Is that what you could say of your Christian service today? Are the wheels just hanging on? Are they loose? Is there a wobble? And is it going to take, as it were, for the wheels to come completely off? Is that what it's going to take? Or are you going to make that realization today that something needs to change? Dear friend, I tell you, if the wheels are loose, if the axe head is loose, use whatever picture you want, if our service is not what it once was, if there is a drifting away, you will be sure that the wheels will come off. It's only a matter of time. Oh, we cannot bury our head to the situation. But what we must openly do to our God is confess. We're making the realization, confess, and begin to make amends. Oh, this man in the account left it too late. Yet we see that once he did make the realization, it was openly confessed. He realized that it had happened. He didn't try and let on that nothing had happened. He knew what had happened. He saw the disaster that it was. And may we be willing to make such a realization today. As I said, maybe this man in the moments leading up to losing the axe head, he had ignored the signs that it was loose. Or else he didn't realize the problem until it was too late. And say, there's the most solemn and serious warning for us in terms of our service of God. Maybe we do not realize that we're laboring, or not laboring as we ought to. That we're not laboring as we once did. Oh, you see, it might appear all as good. See, there was that man swinging away with the axe. But those around him, they were saying, look at that man. Look at how he's working. Look at the sweat upon his brow. They could think, and they saw this man was doing a great work. You know, all he was using was a faulty tool. Oh, there's many scriptural examples of of people who thought that God was with them, thought that they were serving God, only to find out that they were not. I suppose one of the most obvious examples of this is Samson. Samson, we read in Judges 16, verse 20, it says, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." Oh, how solemn and sad it is that we may find ourselves in no better position today. Could it be that for some time our service and our walk has been lacking God's blessing? Have we wandered from our God? Could it be that over many of us today, the word Ichabod could be displayed? That word, of course, means the glory has departed. Oh, something so serious should not and cannot be ignored, but it must be realized by each and every one of us. Oh, all may appear well, but there could be a serious problem in our work and service for God. As I say, it may have looked good to others. And how good we are at that. I have to say, we as ministers can be guilty of that. Oh, we get up in the pulpit, we can look the part, we can preach the word, we can do all these things, but there can be such a defect in us, but those looking on, they know nothing of. Maybe that's you. You come into church, you look the part, you take part in the services, you maybe take part in some of the activities in the church, but yet there's something that is not right in your own heart, if you would but realize it. Never, I say and ask you, will you not pray and ask God to reveal your heart unto you? See that there's something wrong. This is the realization that must be made. At the commencement of this point, I said there was two realizations. The first realization, as I say, that the axe had lost its cutting edge. But in verse 5, there's another realization that this poor man makes. That realization is that the axe was borrowed. For he says there in verse 5, "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed." You see, here's a realization that he had to make. Now, I wonder, have any of you ever borrowed a tool or a piece of machinery of someone? Had the unfortunate happen, it either gets lost or broken. I hate borrowing anything of anyone for that very reason. I'm sure many of us have experienced that. We've borrowed something and lo and behold, as I say, something happens. And if that has happened to you, you can enter into this poor man's experience here. Oh, it was bad enough losing the head of his own axe, but how much worse when it struck him that the axe, the head had landed in the water, and to him that was gone forever in his thinking, he goes, "Oh no, it's not mine. What am I going to do? I have to return this. This doesn't belong to me. What am I going to do?" I wonder, have we realized, as we consider what I'm saying here, you see, I'm asking you to consider with me a realization that our service belongs to God. God has given us work to do for him. Oh, he's given us, but how are we using it? I wonder, will you realize that your life is not your own to do what you want with? That your whole being is owned by and owed to God? Our life is borrowed time to be used in God's service. As we consider preaching to the unsaved, how we warn them about how time is short and that no man knoweth what a day may bring forth, and we need to continue to make that appeal to the unsaved. And I make that appeal to you today. If you are unsaved, you do not know what a day may bring forth. But that same exhortation, dear believer, applies to you and me. We don't know what a day may bring forth. We don't know how much time we have left to serve the Lord. We aren't time given to us by God to use for him. And how are we using it? What is our Christian service, our service of God like today? Do we realize that God has bought us with a price? God sent his son to save us from our sin. He would die upon that cross of Calvary. He would suffer the equivalence of an eternity in hell for us to save us. And what are we doing in return? How are we serving him? He's given us salvation that we may serve him. Well, how are we using what God has given us? How applicable those words of that missionary C.T. Studd are. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What are we doing for Christ? What are we doing for Christ? What are we doing for the one who has given us life? We were dead in sin. We were born again. We are new creatures in Christ. How are we using this new life in him? Are we using it as he would have us? Or are we like this man with this axe? He was misusing it. He had neglected it. Is that what we're doing? Are we misusing and neglecting the life that God has given us? Dear friend, I know such a realization is a heartbreaking discovery to have to make. Yet with such a discovery and realization, if you would make such a one today, I want you to see with me in the remainder of our message that there's something that can be done about it. I don't want you to leave here saying, yes, my service is barren and dry. Oh, well, there's nothing I can do. Dear friend, you couldn't be further from the truth. Oh, there is the realization, see with me, secondly, that there is the return. There is the return. Look with me, please, at verses 5 and 6. It says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now in verse 5, further to the realization of the condition of the axe, what he was doing here, this verse 5, it's a declaration to the man of God. Now this man of God is, of course, Elisha. You see, it was one thing to acknowledge to himself that he had lost the head of the axe, and of the axe that he had borrowed. But it was another thing to, as it were, stand up and own up to what had happened. And dear brothers and sisters, once we would realize that our Christian walk and service is not what it once was, we must do the same. We must realize that we must get up and do something about it. Oh, no doubt it may have been very hard for this man to go and admit what had happened. As I say, as we know, the axe wasn't his. It made it even harder. But accepting and admitting what had happened was the first step in making the situation right. And dear friend, this is what we must do. The first step you must do is admit that there's something wrong in your service and your walk with God, that you realize things need to change. And when you make such a realization, what must you then do? Well, as I title this point, what we must do is we must return. Say in verse 6, we have the reply of this man of God, the man being Elisha, and he tells this man what he must do. It says, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. In short, Elisha told this man to return to the point and the place at where the axe head was lost. And dear Christian, if under self-examination, under God's examination, we would see that our service and walk has lost its cutting edge, we must do that very same thing. We must return to the point and place where we have lost that cutting edge. Oh, no doubt there's been many times in your life, like myself, that you've lost something. And what is the advice that we're often given when we do so? Well, where did you first see it? Or where did you last see it? Where was it? You're told to retrace your step. You're asked to go from the point you are backwards until you had come to the place where you last remembered having it. Now, of course, this man knew exactly where he had lost the axe head, although now at the bottom of the River Jordan. But as we noted earlier, our decline can be much more gradual. And therefore, we must have a careful examination of each step which has taken us away from faithful service of the God who loves us. If we are willing to accept and make a realization that there is a problem, that there is something wrong, that there is not that joy, that love of God that there once was, we must return to the point at which those problems began. Oh, there's many reasons why one can begin to become cold and ineffective in the service of God. It can often start with something so small, and it's so far in the past that it's been forgotten. They don't even know what it was. But yet that started off, as it were, just a ripple of wandering from God. Well, there's many have wandered from service of God because a Christian friend or indeed a church has let you down. Or maybe you've had some dispute with a brother or sister in Christ. Or maybe you can trace your decline to some unconfessed sin. Or maybe, like Martha, you're taking your eyes off Christ and be distracted by busyness. Or maybe the most common, the most serious of these mistakes is there's been a neglect. As I say, with this whole pandemic, I believe that's what's happened to so many. There's been a neglect. Churches closed, and while things started off well, listening online started to fade as time went on, and listening to God's word being preached declined. The reading of God's word declined. Praying to God declined. There's this decline that crept in. Maybe these are just some of the reasons. They are just some of the reasons why the axe of your Christian service has become loose. And maybe it's finally come off. Or maybe you can identify with some of these stumbling blocks. Or maybe there's some other cause in your life. But the reality is there's always a cause. There's always a cause. There's always a reason that we backslide and wander from God. And the fact, you see, that is always, the cause may change, but the effect will always be the same. There will be a wandering from service and devotion to God. We must identify the problem. And as we can see from this portion before us, what we must then do is return. Return to the point. Return to the point when the wandering commenced. There's a wonderful promise given in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. It says there, "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them." Then there's a wonderful promise comes next. "Return unto me, and I will return unto you." Have you wandered from God? Have you strayed from Him? Oh, heed the exhortation. Return unto me and claim the promise. "I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." Oh, if we've wandered and if we've strayed, let us return. Let us return to our first love. We all know those wonderful words to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." You see, I've used the word return. I believe the better word, the more scriptural word, is the word repent. That is the word that we have here in Revelation 2, verse 5. "Remember. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent." This is what this man, of course, in the context of the Acts, is being told to do. Remember and repent. Return to where it was lost. Well, there's no greater exhortation I can give to you, dear Christian, today. When we realize the problem, we must return. We must repent. Find that which we have lost. But maybe today you think it's too late for you. You think, "Oh yes, there was a day when I loved the Lord, a day when I loved to serve the Lord, a day I was active giving out tracts, I would have stood in the open air, I would have been at every service, I would have been at the prayer meeting." And you think, "But that's all in the past. There's no way I can have those things again." But dear friend, I want you to see you can. And you can have them more abundantly. For you see, there is a realization, there is a return. Let us see as we would close this morning, there is also the restoration. There is a restoration. Verses 6 and 7. It says, "And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." Now in verse 6 we have noted that there was a returning to the place where the axe head was lost. As Elisha had him return to that place, maybe the man objected and said, "What's the point? What's the point? It's long gone. It's at the bottom of the river and it's lost forever. What is the point? It's gone and there's nothing I can do." And humanly speaking, that man was right. Humanly speaking, it was lost. But what about when God enters the equation? What about when God moves in power? We've sang this hymn about our service being for God being barren and dry. And what does it say? And barren it shall remain. Oh, it will remain barren until we are blessed with the fire from on high. Well, it's only God can change things. But God can change things. God will change things if we will but return unto him. He can make that restoration. You see, there is a restoration here. Oh yes, the man thought it was lost, yet the miracle occurred. The stick was cut down, it went into the water, and the iron, as it says in verse 6, did swim. Or in other words, we could say all the laws of physics have been now disobeyed. God moved, and what which seemed hopeless and lost was restored. What a comfort that should be to each and every one of us, that there is a restoration. That God can move in power. That God, as we could use the word revival, God can revive us again. May he revive all our services, our service for God. Oh, you may say, you might remember some distant day of fellowship when it was sweet with God, when service was delightful. Those days do not need to be gone. But they can return again. By the Lord's help, by the Lord's power, we can have those days again. Joel 2, verse 25, in that verse, again, that wonderful words, I'm sure that we all know, where God says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Oh, let us rejoice that God can make the restoration. Our God loves us. He tells us that he will never break his covenant with us. We are married. He is married to the backslider through Christ, the one who has purchased us. We will never be let go. He can restore us into that joy of his salvation and into service of him. But as we conclude, there's one other thing I want you to see with me about this restoration. Yes, it is all in God's power. It is God who restores, who'll do that which seems impossible. But that doesn't mean that we're completely passive in all this. There's something that must be done. You see, this man must do his part. He must have a desire for this restoration. And you see, this desire was there. For look at verse 7, it says, therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Oh yes, the miracle was there. It was performed, but yet the man had to put out his hand and take it. Oh, I tell you, God can restore you. God can restore your service of him, your love for him, your joy in serving him. But dear friend, you must put out your hand and take it. You must make out your hand today and say, Lord, yes, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Oh, will you not do that today? And as I do close, I just want very briefly speak to you who are unsaved. This has been a message directed almost entirely to the child of God. And as we talk about the child of God and their service of God being barren and dry, you find yourself in an even greater problem. You need to make an even greater realization. Oh, it's not that your service is barren and dry, but you have no service of God at all. Oh, you may be trying to serve him. You may be trying to work your way to heaven. But you can't do so. Christ is not your Lord and he's not your Savior. Oh, that you today would turn from your sin. That you would know Christ as a Savior. That you would know he is the only way to eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. And that you would this day, finding Christ as Savior, like each and every one of us, would pick up our axe of Christian service. May the Lord take his word and may he bless it to each and every heart today. Let us please close our meeting together in prayer. And it's great to be with you, and I trust the Lord will bless you in the remainder of this his day. Let us pray. Our loving God, our gracious Father, we ask thee, Lord, to search us this day. Try our hearts, we pray. O Lord, show us the wickedness, show us the feelings, and Lord, restore us. And Lord, may we rest not in anything of ourselves. Oh Lord, may we not go out here thinking a change of attitude is all that is needed. But Lord, may we rest in Christ and his finished work. May we rest in what Christ has done for us already. And Lord, the one who has saved us is the one who can restore us. Oh Lord, we pray that thou would cleanse us afresh. Give us clean hands and a pure heart to serve thee this day. O Lord, part us with thy blessing. Bring us back into thy house again this evening. For we do ask all of these things in Jesus' precious and most holy name. Amen.